All right, so for tonight, we're going to talk about the chain of pain. I'll try to explain what that is in just a minute. So it's kind of the thing, we want to break the chains of our addictions and bad habits that we have. We don't want to continue to be shackled by them and have them take away really our freedom and our joy and our happiness in life. But when we're trying to do that, we realize that we want to go beyond just the addiction itself, because we realize there's contributing factors, that we get ourselves into a certain frame of mind, and usually that leads us to a place where we're giving into the addiction. And so we want to deal with the root issues that lead us into the addictive behavior. That we're not just satisfied with not giving in. We want to get as far away from it as we can, living a different life than what we had before. And so we want to think of our addiction. Yes, it's a problem, but we want to realize in a lot of ways it's a symptom of a bigger problem. And there are other chains that need to be broken in our life as well. Chains that are sometimes even stronger than addiction. And it's kind of the thing is, we want to realize with a lot of these chains that we have to get free of, they're chains that we've forged with our own hands. We're in a prison that we built for ourselves. And so we want to really start to examine, say, okay, how did I get here? What's going on? Why do I keep falling in this trap? And so it's learning those things. And so tonight we want to consider one of these other chains that can bind us. And it's the chain of pain. And so this is a thought that if we get hurt physically, or like we have some kind of really bad headache or backache or stomach ache or something like that, what do? We say, okay, I need to actually get help. Is there some kind of medicine that I can take that'll take away my headache, take away my backache, take away my stomach ache? If I've been hurt, I don't just say, oh, it'll just mend on its own. No, it's like, I need to go to the hospital. Okay, this is serious enough. I need some stitches. I need some reconstructive surgery. I need to set a bone. Like, we understand that. When it's physical pain, physical wound, we need to get help to get healing and relief. But yet, when it happens in life where we sustain an emotional wound, or an experiencing emotional pain, we don't think of it in the same way. We don't think, I need to go to a doctor, I need to get some kind of medication to help this, or I need to do something like that, right? We just say, well, what do I do with this kind of pain? And a lot of times what we do is we try to deal with it on our own. And it's not we shouldn't. And it's kind of like when I cut the end of my finger off, like if I would have just said, oh, I'll just kind of bandage it up and just call her good and it'll just kind of heal on itself. Like, I wouldn't be able to use these two fingers. And then like how could I still do carpentry work? I know when these were healing, I was trying to pick everything up with these two fingers and that just didn't work very well. And so it's the idea is like we need to get help, but we don't know necessarily where to go, and we just don't know how to deal with it. And we try to, but a lot of times the way we deal with it isn't the right way. So we want to think just of sources of emotional pain that we realize these things affect us. And we sometimes try to say, oh no, this is fine, this doesn't bother me, but then by our response, we realize something is bothering us. So it can be trauma. Let's say if we're in an accident, or we're a victim of a crime, that affects us. That I know one lady that, Mrs. Swam, she lived behind the United Church, but she had someone try to break in, and she was so scared that she ended up having to move to another place. And even when I would talk with her, and it was probably months afterwards, she was still very just upset about that, right? That it affects you. And like when you're in an accident, like I know when we got into that accident on our trip, like it was sort of the thing, the next day it's like I didn't even want to get back on the road again. I just like, or maybe if I did, it was to turn around and go home, not continue down the road. And so that affects us. Abuse. And it can be something just, say you're at work and your boss tears a strip off you. And sometimes it's, you did do something that maybe warranted some kind of criticism, but he went kind of nuclear on you, way beyond what he probably should have, right? But that happens, and it's just like, yeah, well, it probably shouldn't happen, but it happens all the time, right? And that can happen where people say things that it just hit us at just the right spot, and it just really affected us. Kind of, they're able to push your buttons. Sometimes it can be physical abuse, where someone actually is causing harm to you. And sometimes, sadly, it can be sexual abuse. And this can happen a lot of times with people that you thought you could trust, people that should be there to protect you, that they instead end up hurting you. That can affect a person tremendously. Sometimes negligence. Abuse is where someone does something wrong to us, something where they're active in doing something. But negligence is kind of the opposite, is where someone should be doing something and they either don't do it or just refuse to do it. And you could think of it in a parental relationship that a child really needs someone to kind of affirm them, tell them that they're loved, tell them that they're appreciated. And if you never get that, like that affects a person, right? It can, like, just where you don't know, especially for like a teenage girl that's going through a lot of different things. If they don't know that from their dad that they're loved and appreciated, that can really affect them for a long time. Sometimes it can be a breach of trust or a betrayal where you think someone is someone you can count on, someone that's going to be there for you, but then you're in a bad situation and you try to get help and that person doesn't even act like they know you. And that, it just where you're, it can sometimes be hard to trust people, and when you actually think you've got someone and you find out that they weren't worth trusting, that can be very hard. Sometimes it can be rejection or abandonment, where, say it can be you get in a relationship, you really think this is a person, and you're almost ready to, like if you're a guy, you're ready to get the ring. If you're a girl, you're waiting for him to pop the question. But then what happens is the person says, oh, no, I think we should see other people. I'm not interested in carrying this on. And it just like, it comes totally out of left field. And you weren't expecting it. And it's difficult. And then as well, grief or loss, that where somebody dies that you're close to, or sometimes you lose something that was very valuable to you. That all those things are sources of emotional pain, and sometimes it's just things that happen, but sometimes it is actually someone that's inflicting pain upon us. And so the thing is when we experience emotional pain, what do we generally try to do is, and as we go through these different things, these are things that we do, but we don't want to realize these are not things that we should do, right? And so what happens is someone hurts us, someone says something to us, someone doesn't treat us the way that we figure that they should, we react. And we try to inflict equal or greater pain upon the one that we perceive to be the source of our pain. And so, why is it that we usually try to inflict greater pain on that person? It's because we want to teach them a lesson so they never do it again. It's like, you do this to me, I'm going to hit you even harder, so then you'll think twice before you do it a second time. And that's just natural. And it's not in terms of getting even. A lot of times it's, I'm going to go a step further. And is that actually going to solve the situation? No, that's usually, okay, if you're going one up on me, I'm going to go one up on you, and it can just start getting bigger and bigger and bigger and just totally go out of control. And so we want to realize that that's not the way that we should respond, but that is often the way that we do respond. And but it's kind of the thing, there's sometimes where we can't do that, right? Because it's like, if our boss mistreats us and we punch out our boss, we're going to find ourselves unemployed. And if we do that two or three times, we're going to find ourselves to be unemployable. And so we know, okay, I can't do that. I can't react that way. Even if we could say, maybe the guy deserves it, maybe he needs to be taught a lesson, that's something that we realize, okay, in the situation, man, I can't do that. And so there's times where we want to return that pain on someone else, but we find we can't do that. And so we want to pour that out on somebody. And so whoever's closest, we say, okay, I guess it's going to be you because I can't deal with this person here. And so it can be kind of the thing is we get home and we're upset, we kick the dog. Where our kids are being noisy and we yell at the kids, we take it out on our wife doesn't have supper ready or something, and we get upset with her. And it could be any number of things. And it's the sad thing is, it always seems to be the ones that we're closest to that bear the brunt of it. That we had a bad day, and so then everybody else whose lives we touch, they have to have a bad day too. And it's our way of dealing with it, because we have that pain. We think, I just have to kind of give that pain to someone else. That's how it's going to make me feel better. And it might a little bit, but we realize it's not making the problem any better. It's actually making things worse. And it's like we look at, what did the dog do to deserve you kicking it? What did the kid do? The kid just was excited to see you and you just yelled at him. It's like, that's not right. And we realize but that's sometimes what happens is we start to justify it and we think, well, because they did this, I got mad at them, but we have to actually stop and say, okay, I went nuclear on them because I was mad at this person and I poured all my anger at that person on this other person. And so we have to realize that's not right. They shouldn't have to bear the brunt of that. But then sometimes what we do, someone does something to us, and so we figure, well, I have to share my offense with others. Do you know what this person did to me? And so then we have to tell the story to as many people as we can. And we think that's going to help us, because kind of what it is we have this plan for revenge, and we think, if I can get as much of a team with me, boy, we're really going to get this guy in the end. And we think this is going to solve it, and it doesn't. It makes it worse. And it's, you think of so many different feuds and wars that happen through history, that's what it is. It's like, this person did this to me, and I'm going to make it into this big international incident, and people are going to die over this thing that actually could have probably been solved a whole lot simpler if I'd been willing to just sort of settle down and not spread all that hate everywhere else. And so, Another thing that we do, and instead of trying to find a way to return the pain, because we realize that's not right, I shouldn't be trying to inflict pain on other people to make myself feel better. But what we do is we choose to self-medicate. It's kind of the thing. It's like I have a headache, I take a Tylenol, it makes me feel better, makes the pain go away. And so I have this emotional pain, what can I take that will make me feel better? And so we grab some, I'm feeling low, this is going to pick me up, this is going to give me a boost. And but it's kind of the thing, what happens is we take, if it's a physical problem and we take some kind of medication, it may help us, but there can be side effects. And then, of course, if you're taking Tylenol for pain, it'll get to a certain point where a regular Tylenol isn't going to do much for you. And so you're going to have to take extra strength Tylenol. You might have to get the T3s or have someone prescribe you some more powerful because what you were using just doesn't work. And so if that's true with like regular drugs for physical pain, it's so much more these other drugs that we're using to deal with the emotional pain, that there's going to be other side effects, like especially when we're getting into some of these other more powerful substances, that it starts to have a lot of other different things happening, but then of course our body's getting used to it, and so then we have to take more in order to get rid of that pain, that it doesn't work as good as it used to, and so we're just getting more and more and more of that in our system, but it's having less and less effectiveness. And so this we think, well, this hurts less people because I can kind of go off somewhere and I can use this substance and I'm going to not hurt anybody. But of course, what did we learn with principle number 7? Our bad habits do hurt those that follow us. And because what happens is as we become, that addiction gets more and more hold of us, we become more erratic in our behavior, we lose control, and we end up hurting people that we love. It's not intentional, but it happens. And sometimes we can think of it this way, that someone hurts us, and so in order to deal with that, what we do is we basically withdraw, we isolate ourselves, and we go and use whatever substance we are to help us get through, right? Well, the thing is what happened is because we've basically withdrawn from life, then someone that's maybe looking for help, looking for strength, looking for affirmation, we're not there to give it to them. And so, like, yes, we haven't abused that person, but then we've been negligent. And so it's kind of the thing is realizing that when we step away, then there's other people that are missing out on the help that we could give them. And so we want to learn that it affects people one way or the other. And so it's a thought that this idea, this chain of pain that happens, that whenever we choose any of these paths, we're making the chain of pain stronger and longer. Okay, when we say someone has hurt someone else, and then that person hurts us, that there can be a chain that maybe stretches back generation after generation, right? And it comes to us, and we become part of that link when that person starts to hurt us, right? But then we hurt them back, that just makes that link all that much stronger yet. But then when what happens is we're hurt, so we start hurting someone else, then another link is added to the chain. And then who we hurt, they start hurting someone else. And it just keeps going and going and going, getting longer and stronger. And we got to say at a point, no, I don't want this to go anymore. I want this to stop. I want to break this chain. I don't want what is coming into my life. I want to shut it down here, and I don't want anything else going out the other way. I want to be if I can, be the person that breaks this chain so that nobody else is affected by this anymore. And so it's seeing that, seeing the power that it's had, and realizing that, yes, I want to break this chain. I need to. And so we want to find out, how can we break the chain of pain? And this is what we want to really understand. And I want to tell you that this isn't something where this is just something I found in a textbook that I'm just passing along. But this comes from real life things where I've failed and haven't dealt with it well. And that's why I want to try to share with you, so that kind of maybe you cannot make the same mistakes I have. But first of all, we have to get to a point where we stop justifying our behavior. That being hurt never gives us the right to hurt others. That we want to just, because so often what happens, well, this person did this to me, so I have a right to do this to them. This person hurt me, and so they should be able to understand me kind of venting on them in this situation. And we want to just say, wait a minute, no, I got to do right even if the whole world does wrong. That someone inflicts pain on me, that doesn't mean I can inflict pain on someone else. That it has to stop. And I can't make excuses anymore. And because that's what happens is, so often with any kind of bad behavior, any kind of addiction, we find a way to justify what we know is wrong. And we just have to. And it's kind of first principle. If God's against it, so am I. God says we're to be kind to one another. We're to do good to everyone that's around us. And so we want to agree with him. But the thing, too, is when we sustain emotional wound or experience emotional pain, we need to deal with it properly. We need to find a healthy, effective source of relief and healing. Okay? It's just as if we got injured physically, right? We need to find someone that can help us. We need to find some way of dealing with it. And sometimes there is medications we can take that are actually prescribed, that are actually can be safe. Sometimes there's other ways of dealing with it. And sometimes emotionally, it can be a thing where if you're able to share it with someone else, you're able to, they're able to kind of help you kind of process it. A lot of times just talking can make a big difference. And so it's looking for that. Is there people that I can talk to, people that can help me through this? I don't have to do it alone. There can be relief and healing. And it's something we want to understand is that, who do we talk to? How do we know this person will actually help us? That we want to always realize that God is always there wanting to help us. And that's the thing, is that a lot of times he's the one that can really give healing for those kind of emotional wounds that we get. And he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's part of who he is that he wants to heal us. Says as well, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. That it's the wounds on the inside that take the longest to heal, but he's the one really that has the knowledge and wisdom and care to be able to do that more than anybody else on this earth. And so going to him and realizing he can help me. He can give me this healing. And that's what we need in those times, is how do I process this properly? How do I actually get healing for this? But then, thirdly, that we break the chain of pain, and as well, in turn, some of the chains of our addiction, when we refuse to allow ourselves to be overcome by bitterness, but instead overcome our pain through forgiveness. Because that's the thing, is we want to break the chain, and so we have to respond differently. And so it's learning to forgive. And this is not something where God is explaining this to us And it's sort of do as I say, not as I do, because we think of the Lord Jesus, where he went through all this difficult things that happened. He was mistreated and abused, but yet he responded right. That it actually talks about 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." That he didn't return in kind, that after all this stuff that was happening to him, he actually, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And so he really gives us the example, the path for us to follow that's going to lead us to victory in this area. And so we see this, that it says, "Avenge not yourselves, but give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And so what God is saying, if this person needs some kind of retribution, let me take care of that. Because I'll take care of it way better than you ever could. And so we have to realize that. It's not our job to try to pay someone back. Okay? We don't have to do that. And to spend our life trying to find a way to do that is wasting our time. And he says instead, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If you give him drink, or if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And so it's the idea that we actually show kindness to someone that's cruel to us. And it's interesting that for heaping coals of fire on his head, that we sometimes have a picture, it's a way for us to get back at the person by being kind to them. We kill them with kindness. But what more it's understanding is back in those times, what happened was having a fire in their home, in your home, was essential, both for heat and for cooking. That if the fire went out, like, you could freeze and starve. And so what could happen is, say, your enemy would come knocking on your door. And what would happen is they would always, they didn't have like Bic lighters back then or matches. They'd have to have some live coals that they could get the fire going with. And if the person didn't tend their fire and let the fire die out, they'd need to go to their neighbor to get some coals. And so if your enemy came knock on your door and you said, "My fire went out, could you please give me some coals so I can get my fire going again?" That you could say, "Well, forget you, I'm not helping you at all. Send them on their way." That's something we could do, but that's not what God wants us to do. Or we could say, "I'll just give you a little bit." And what happens if you give him one coal? By the time he gets out back to his house, it's going to die, and it's like you might as well not have given him anything. But it's instead, you heap coals of fire on his head. You say, "I'll give you as much as you need and more." That what had happened is that enemy, when he sees the kindness that you've shown them, even though they've been a jerk to you, that enemy can become your friend. And so he says, don't be overcome of evil, overcome evil with good. Break the chain of pain. Don't keep giving pain, show kindness, show forgiveness. And you can turn an enemy into a friend. And so all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, evil speaking, we want to put that away from us. And we want to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving as God has forgiven us. It's what he wants for us to do. So just a few final thoughts for you to kind of ponder on through the week. And so, am I experiencing emotional pain? Did something happen that's really hurt me on the inside, one way or the other? And of course, as guys, it's not necessarily somewhere we even want to admit that, because we're tough. It's like we don't get hurt, but we do. And we have to realize this is affecting me one way or the other. And so we have to ask, if I am experiencing emotionally pain of some sort or another, am I dealing with it properly? Or am I trying to numb the pain by one substance or one kind of behavior or another? Or am I trying to pass that pain on to someone else? Because either way that we're doing that, we're just continuing to add to the chain of pain. And we don't want to do that anymore. But here's some too, that if there's someone that's causing pain in my life, normally the response would be get angry with them, try to find a way to get back at them. But could that person maybe use some patience, understanding, and forgiveness? What is going on in their life that's caused them to react the way that they did? And I don't know, I've always thought of trying it at a job site, but I've never had the courage to do it, where you get somebody that's mad and just all upset, and I almost want to say, it sounds like somebody could use a hug, and just see what would happen. Like, I think for some guys, they'd probably punch you out if you tried that, but it's kind of the thing, is like, you just wonder, like, what's going on in their life, and it's sort of, someone's hurt them, they're now hurting others, and maybe it's, instead of just getting mad at them, it's like, okay, are you okay? What's going on? And maybe it can be an opportunity, the guy can vent a little bit, and then it's like he's settled down now, everything's good, and then maybe the fact that you are willing to do that for him, it's like you're an ally now, and he can maybe go to you and vent, and just, it helps him to just deal with it better. And so just kind of thinking of that we just, this person hurt me and I'm upset. Okay, why did this person hurt me? And how can I maybe help this person? But then we have to ask, are there people who have hurt me in the past that I need to forgive? Because sometimes we can be bitter over someone for decades. And it just, and that person may not even know that they've offended us. That person might be long dead, and there's no way of ever getting back at that person, anything like that. And there's times that we just need to forgive that person. That we don't, a lot of times, sometimes we forgive for the sake of the other person. If they're coming to us and they're sorry for what they've done, that we forgive for their sake. But so often, more often, what happens, we forgive for our own sake. It's for our own release, that we're not destroyed by bitterness. And so we want to learn to do that. And a person doesn't have to ask for forgiveness for us to give it to them. Sometimes it's just better to let it go for our own sakes. And as well, are there people I've hurt that I need to ask to forgive me? And that's the thing. If we find I'm basically extending that chain of pain, I need to break that link. I need to say, okay, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Let's get this right and have it not continue anymore. And so it's not easy, but I think we all realize that this is something that affects all of us in one way or another. And we have to make that decision. Okay, I'm not going to let it go any farther. I have to learn to break it. And it's not something we can do in our own strength, and that's why we need God's help. All right.